Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3. I'll read again the first three verses. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" This is our text. Three words for today: look, listen, believe. Look, listen, believe. You could say that that's the theme of our Living Nativity weekend. We ourselves step back in time to make Bethlehem together. And then we invite the community to enter our little Bethlehem with us. Why? One of our members overheard a visitor last night asking his wife, why? Why would they do this? Why would they go to this much effort? It's a good question, and we'd be lying if we said we didn't ask that question ourselves from time to time. Why? Because the coming of our God in human flesh is the most important event in the history of the entire world. And that's making a big claim. I mean, history is filled with a lot of important events. Today, December 7th, marks the 84th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Next year, our country is preparing to celebrate its semi-quincentennial. Yes, I had to look that up. 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And that'll be a big deal. But we believe that what happened in Bethlehem with the birth of Jesus is an even bigger deal still. The biggest of all. Another reason to make Bethlehem is that our world, while it celebrates the birth of our Lord, also has made the Nativity into a bit of a cliche. It becomes sentimental, stylized. Instead of forming the foreground, the main event, the heart and center of Christmas, it's one of those things that seems to me like it's always lurking in the backdrop. Something that gets looked past rather than that something that gets looked at. Look, listen, believe. That's what we want for our Living Nativity visitors, isn't it? In the middle of a chaotic world of buying and selling, of thieving and joking, of weaving and basket making, tanning and carpentry, amid the smells of perfume and the braying and bleating and clucking of animals, where mothers shout for their children and old friends greet one another with shalom and the butcher's knife falls with a thwack, when the Roman ruler decided a census was a good way to get more shekels, and some magi set out on a journey of 1,000 miles, a child was born. And this child was and is and ever shall be the true God who came into a world like that and a world like this, into the world like ours, for us and for our salvation. May what our guests see and hear lead them to believe this with us, because what we want most of all is other beloved sinners to kneel and receive with us the grace and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant that this weekend again. But now it's our turn. I don't need to describe for you Living Nativity and what it's like. Now it's our turn. Our turn to come out of the darkness and the chaos and the buying and the selling and the crying and the shouting and the cold and the pain into a different world. You could say that this morning we've come through the doors of the inn to enter this place, this little heaven on earth. And let us not let this place become for us a cliche or sentimental or stylized or a backdrop on our lives. Let's not miss what's happening here. And today, let John the Baptist help prepare you for what we have in this place. Because our Lord Jesus Christ didn't stay in the stable in Bethlehem. He left the stable and he went to the cross and he burst from the tomb and ascended into heaven, and he promised to come again soon for us. So let's take a moment together here to look and listen through the word and to believe it. To believe it for yourself, dear friend. What are we looking at when we hear the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3? Straight from the pages of the Old Testament, we see a strange figure come lunging toward us. You can see him on the front of the bulletin as well. In those days, John the Baptist came. And what do we see? A strange man leaping out at us. He's wearing camel's hair clothing, a leather belt around his waist, eating wild locusts and honey. Before we see him, we hear him, a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Here's a man who looks like he comes straight from the Old Testament. He looks like the prophet Elijah. He's dressed like that. He's the sort of man who could be described by the prophet Isaiah. It's like the entire Old Testament, those first 39 books of the Bible, has come to life. And he wants us not to look at him, but to look at the one to whom he points. This is how you'll often see John the Baptist pictured. A man dressed in this crazy way with his finger pointing, as if to say, look not at me, but look at the one to whom I direct you. Martin Luther said this about John the Baptist. He said, not because of his austere life, not because of his phenomenal birth, his parents were past the age of childbearing, but because of his blessed finger, because of his message and his office. No other man had such fingers as John's, with which he points to the Lamb of God and declares that he is the true Savior who would redeem the world from sin. For he is the ultimate of all prophets and preachers. No more comforting word and finger will ever appear than John's word and pointer. Look to where John points you. Look to the one whose way he prepares. Look to the one whom he proclaims. He who is coming after me, John said, is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy even to carry. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist today would capture our eyes and would direct our eyes not to himself, but to our Lord Jesus Christ, whose way he prepares. He would have us see not the chaos of the world around us, not even all the preparations for Christmas, but he would have us see, most of all, Jesus Christ, who has come in the flesh, who comes now to meet us in his word and his gifts, and who is coming again. Raise your eyes and look at the Savior of the world. And listen. Listen to what John the Baptist has to say. Simple words, but difficult to carry out. Repent, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom comes. Not far off in the future, not one day down the road, not tomorrow, but he says, today. It is at hand. The Savior is near. He is at the very gates and coming quickly. And he calls us to repent. John didn't come to be the Savior, but he came to produce repentance. He came to turn people away from their idols and their sins and their pride, and to turn them toward the sacrifice for sins. John's point isn't just to make people better, to make them good people or give them better morals. No, he came to proclaim God's law, to turn them away from their sin, so that they would be prepared to hear God's gospel and hear and see their Savior. What are the idols of our age? What are the idols of our society? What are the idols of our own lives? There are some things that come to mind, especially in this Christmas season. The idols of greed and of envy and of self-indulgence and of worry and anxiety. Greed, because our society makes Christmas all about the commercial season of buying and selling. It's not just a marketplace in Bethlehem, it is a marketplace in the entire world. It preys on our desire to have, our desire to get, our desire to keep up with those around us. The idol of envy, because we see what others have and wish that we had it as well. We see their success or their financial well-being or the job that they have or the things that they're able to procure with their money, and we desire to have the same. Self-indulgence is another idol of this day. That it would turn us to think not about those around us and not about our Lord and his coming, but rather to seek what we can do for ourselves. And on top of all of it, worry and anxiety. In some ways, it's a deeply sad thing that the Christmas season can be a season of especial worry and anxiety for people. Trying to prepare and make everything be what they want it to be, and all the while missing out on the fact that what matters most is the one who has come and comes now and will come again. Listen, repent, turn from your sins, renounce them and leave them behind. Let the things that you've been carrying, those sins that have been weighing you down, the things that pull you away from your Lord and from his coming again, let them be drowned in the waters of your baptism, and then get up wet and walk in the newness of life. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the world doesn't know it. They think it's simply a season for buying and selling. But we know that he has come and is coming and will come again soon. Look, listen, and believe. This is the most crucial thing for us as Christians. Not to get caught up in all of the doing or even all of the making of Bethlehem, that we forget the most important thing of all, that we are called to believe in the one who came after John and the one who comes to us even now with his grace and mercy. And that is why we gather not only to make Bethlehem, but we gather here even more importantly to hear his word. For that is how he makes us Christian, and that is how he keeps us Christian as well. Setting before our eyes and our ears the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who gives his very blood and body for you on this altar today for the forgiveness of your sins. This is where John would take us. This is what he would have us see and hear and believe. The Lamb who was slain for our sins from the foundation of the world. The blood that was shed on the cross and the body that was given there that are now brought forward to us in time. Today we don't go back to Bethlehem. We don't go back to the night when our Lord was betrayed or to his cross on Good Friday or to the empty tomb or to his ascension into heaven. But our Lord brings all of that forward to us. For here is Bethlehem again, and here is the night when he was betrayed, and here is the cross on which he died, and here is the tomb which he broke open, and here is our Lord risen and reigning and ascended, who bids you to look and to listen and to believe in him. May God grant this again to us today, and to all who will enter through the doors of our Bethlehem and the doors of our church this night as well. And may Christ be glorified and honored, and his kingdom be filled. In Jesus' name.